Welcome back to WNST, Tass of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. It was a long, long evening down at the bank on Sunday night. It's going to be a great week here. My birthday is Friday. I'm celebrating my 54th birthday at Fadley's of Lexington Mark. We'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour there early in the morning. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs, some victorious Raven scratch-offs to give away on Friday, as well as our friends at Goodwill. And, of course, Window Nation. We buy two, you get two free. 866-90-NATION. Certainly glad I have my windows, as it's been 37 degrees in the morning. Fall has fallen, and Luke Jones, the Baltimore Ravens are still in first place. How about that? So as we enter my birthday, it'll be a first place week, but not as easy as you maybe would like it to be against the Cincinnati Bengals, but the win's the win. How it came, interesting game, tight game, and I'm writing my columnist at Baltimore Positive, Luke, that pretty much says that kind of reminded me of an old Steelers-Ravens slobber knocker now, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just took the words right out of my mouth. I think this had a very AFC North-like feel to it. Not a ton of possessions, not a ton of points, and we know what the Bengals are capable of doing offensively. We know what the Ravens are capable of doing offensively. It was 1917. Not many possessions, so I think that made things a bit fascinating from a standpoint of more fourth down decisions on both sides of the ball, you know, both sides of the aisle as far as each team. But the Ravens, you know, as you just mentioned, I don't know if you can expect it to be any easier. You're talking about going up against a team that won the division last year, that beat the pants off you twice last year and made it to the Super Bowl last year. So let's give the Cincinnati Bengals their props.
They had the clean sweep, deserved. Right? It's not just about beating the Ravens or winning the division. They went to the Super Bowl. That's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't win it, but that's what this current era of Ravens football, these guys are looking to do that kind of damage, have that kind of success come January and early February. So, you know, there's plenty to look at in this one that you could say needs to be better. I think John Harbaugh acknowledged that. Lamar Jackson certainly did, who unprovoked went out of his way to praise the defense because he flat out said, hey, we left points out there. I left points out there on Sunday night. So I think all in all, you're pleased with it. Certainly after what happened in the first two home games this season, you're pleased with it. And yeah, you know, you got that feeling of deja vu a little bit, although a 10-0 lead isn't quite as dramatic as what we had seen against Miami and Buffalo. But ultimately, the Ravens had Justin Tucker, right? Ultimately, the Ravens had Lamar Jackson's legs at the end, and ultimately, Mark Andrews. Those three factors have been so huge for this team for a long time now, and certainly it came up big down the stretch when the Ravens were trailing in the final 2 minutes. And ultimately, those three guys were major factors in getting that game-winning score and the Ravens coming away with a narrow two-point victory.
Well, you mentioned stars in this league and the reason you win, right? The reason you win, and I'm writing a lot about this, but there was a perception, and it feels like a long time ago, that you and I were watching Lamar run into linebackers in Canton, Ohio, and Ray's going into the Hall of Fame. It's a blink. It's 5 years. And, you know, five seasons, I should say. And now that we get into this, the notion that in the beginning they were steamrolling everyone and winning by six touchdowns in Los Angeles during that year, blowing teams out, that, hey, I wonder what would happen if they get in a tight game. I wonder if they're down a point at the end of the game and they have to come back and kick a field goal and go the length of the field to do that, whether they would be equipped to be a two-minute offense. We talked at length about their two-minute offense being a bit of a mystery early on. And then, you know, Lamar struggled during the plague and those empty seasons. And we haven't won a whole lot of playoff games a year. We haven't gone to the Super Bowl and come 2 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl with this group of players. But certainly for Lamar, checking that next box off is, oh, you're down by something with 2 minutes left. And you need to move the ball to either score a touchdown, kick a long field goal, kick a short field goal, eat the clock up, not turn the ball over, manage staying inbounds, out of bounds, manage the clock. All of those things that I don't want to say they felt too big for Lamar 4 years ago, but it felt a little bit like a mystery. It felt a little bit like, who's going to catch those balls? Who's going to protect Lamar? You know, how are they going to keep him upright if he gets sacked and they beat the clock up and you don't have timeouts? All of those 2 minute things that they've worked on in those backfields for years, to be able to pull that out against the division opponent at home under the bright lights on Sunday night. He's won some comeback games coming out of the bathroom like Willis Reed in Cleveland a couple of years ago. We've had a couple of those. They had some comebacks last year. But this was impressive in that I want to see them do this. I want to see them have to come back and win a game like this and do it this way, because this is what, and Lamar talked about this in the aftermath, this is what Buffalo or Kansas City is going to look like in January. It's going to look like a tight game, going to look like we're down by a couple of points or up by a couple of points and going to have to do something with the offense that other folks thought that this guy couldn't do, you know, in the beginning, or thought that he wouldn't be as accurate. And he had some accuracy issues on Sunday night. But all that being said, in the end, it was his legs, a couple passes early on. But the fact that you still can't tackle him when he wants to run, when he finds lanes and he finds sticks and you're tired and you're backing up and you're in Baltimore, you're going to lose.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the significance is in terms of, they've done this plenty of times. I mean, and it's still October, right? I mean, ultimately, it's doing this in January. And I don't mean that to be to diminish what they did Sunday night. Point is, they've done this plenty. I mean, I don't think they checked a box that, you know, something they haven't done before. But I think it's important in what we'd seen in the short term, very recent past, right? I mean, what happened to them against Miami? What happened to them against Buffalo? And certainly, you know, in the case of Miami, that was much more on the defense, but we know that the offense had opportunities to put the game away then, and they didn't. And, you know, same thing with the Buffalo game. The offense played really well early on, did not play well in the second half. So for me, I think it was just a chance to stop the short-term bleeding in terms of, you know, what's going on between your ears, you know, what's going on underneath the hood when you're losing games at home like they had lost over the previous two times they were playing in their home stadium. I mean, that's very un-Ravens like for the history of the franchise, let alone just talking about Lamar Jackson and this current era of Ravens football. So, but your point's well taken in the sense of, you know, you're going to have to do this against good teams, you know, and they've done it plenty in the regular season. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's a regular season game, but it's a really important regular season game from the standpoint of you are playing the team in your division that continues to look like your biggest threat to winning this division. Because, you know, let's face it, Pittsburgh doesn't look like that right now. Maybe they'll look like it later in the year, but they don't look close to that right now. Cleveland, you know, talent, sure. But quarterback and you know, they're the Browns, you know, they're still that, you know, we've said for years, well, they're the Bengals, they're the Bungles. Well, they kind of disproved that a little bit last year. So they've earned their stripes a little bit, not all the way, but they're certainly on their way. So from that standpoint, you know, you want to take care of business in a division game in your home stadium. You need to do it. You know, and they were able to do that on Sunday night. So that was great to see. And I think for Lamar Jackson, you know, it's not some weekly referendum or anything like that. We've seen Lamar play big in big situations in the regular season in close games and, you know, against division opponents. But this was a great example to me of a night where he did not play a very good football game, especially throwing the football. But to his credit, and especially considering no Rashad Bateman and, you know, Ronnie Stanley was back, but not all the way back. And we'll get into that, but you know, he found a way. And as you mentioned, with his legs, and as I've argued with you plenty of times, and, you know, we've debated this, how much running is too much, how little is too little, all those different points that I'm sure we'll continue to debate and argue at various times, but it's there for you. And when it's there for you and you need it, and you have less than 2 minutes to go and you're staring down the barrel of another home loss, another late home loss, you know, a late final minute home loss where you're just saying, what the heck is going on? Lamar Jackson's legs were option one for the Ravens with, you know, a couple completions to Mark Andrews to get the 2 minute drive started. So, you know, it really is such an extraordinary weapon and teams spend so much time every single week. You'll see a story from the opposing city about whoever is playing Lamar Jackson on the scout team in practice. So many hours, days, months, weeks, you know, go down the list. All these teams, especially the division rivals, spend so much time trying to contain him. And very, very few times are they successful in doing it. And
well, I mean, we really talked about last week with Harbaugh. Do we want to lead? Do we want to kick a field goal? How are we going to do it? Dude, the Bengals all-world 1-1 quarterback drove the length of the field on Sunday Night Football on the road against the other big dog in the division, you know, and put them into a sleeper hole. They were going to, you know, 1-point lead. We're putting our guys out on the field. We got to play defense against this kid for 2 minutes. We've been trying for 8 months, 9 months. We beat his ass twice last year. We didn't give him a chance to come back, right? Now he's got the ball. We're built for this. We're built for this, right? We got 14, 15 guys on defense. We're going to rotate. We got 6-8 plays, maybe with timeouts, to keep him from getting to the 50-yard line or the 40-yard line or the 30-yard line or wherever it's going to take for Tucker to beat us and put us out. And we're built to do this. That's what Zach Taylor's saying at the 2-minute warning, literally, right? We're built to do this. We're on the road. Go out there, get a stop, get off the field against this kid. We've been trying. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Yeah. You know, so for that, that's a punch that hitting Tylan Wallace down the end, hitting Duvernay over top, not throwing the pick. You know, if they're winning 31-13 at the end of the game, we don't feel any of this. Certainly for Cincinnati, that was a tough trip home because they felt like they felt like they had scratched out enough to win a game and to stop that kid with 2 minutes left to go, put the defense on the field. They're built to do it. That's how they almost won a championship last year. They couldn't do it against Stafford when it mattered, and they couldn't do it against Lamar. And, you know, that sort of impugns their reputation a little bit for me, that they're going to have to pound on that until they see the Ravens later in the year. And then the Ravens have an easier schedule because they didn't win the division last year the rest of the way. I don't know if the Giants are going to be any great kick this week. They look pretty decent over London coming back and certainly a road game this week. But this was a game the Ravens had to have and a bit of a slog. And I don't know that anybody's getting to 12 or 13 in this division. It might be more like 10 or 11. This is the one you want to have in your pocket. And the way you beat them, incredibly demoralizing for the 2-3 Cincinnati Bengals right now, the defending champions.
No question about it. Who've also lost another game in the division. Keep in mind, they lost to Pittsburgh week one, which, I mean, that game's looking even worse as time goes on at this point. But I think, you know, the interesting point here, though, Nestor, is if you're the Bengals going into this one, you're probably, if you're Zach Taylor and someone tells you you're going to hold the Ravens to 19 points, you're probably taking that, right? And on the flip side, if you're the Ravens saying the Bengals score 17, you're taking that. And that's why I said this, just it had more of an old Ravens Steelers AFC North game where, look, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers put up plenty of points other weeks, right? And Joe Flacco and the Ravens would have their times where they'd put up plenty of points. But, you know, you'd face each other and realizing as time went on, yeah, there were some shootouts mixed in there, but you know,
it was always 19-17 or 23-20 or 23-21. I go back through all those finals. They all felt like 19-17 to me.
Yeah, 16-13. I mean, you had those types of games, and I think this is a reminder of that. And it was just interesting from that standpoint that I think both teams would gladly have taken the defensive performance that they got going into it. But again, when do those scores come? Just like the Ravens, hey, if a gust of wind blows Justin Tucker's field goal wide right, we're having a very different conversation right now. We're talking about another fourth down decision. We're talking about the defense. As well as they played, they still gave up a touchdown on the final drive. So again, it's just the timing of it all. And it's the reality of very few possessions, especially in that second half. I mean, it's just kind of crazy when you think about it. The Bengals had the ball three times in the second half. And one was the interception to Patrick Queen on the first play. The Ravens had four drives in the second half. So it was, you know, how many games have we seen the Ravens directly involved or certainly, you know, the Bengals have played plenty of games like this, you know, in the Joe Burrow era where you are thinking in terms of, okay, how many possessions we need to score a touchdown here, field goal's no good. And then, you know, going through that. And there was some of that went on. We can certainly talk about the Bengals' decision to go for a touchdown at the goal line. And, you know, a mystifying Philly special on second and goal that pushed them back. I mean, you know, so plenty of that happened. But again, at its core, this ended up being a pretty low scoring game. And ultimately, you know, with no disrespect to what I think, you know, the Bengals have a good kicker in their own right, but he's no Justin Tucker. So it certainly does impact decision making. And it was fascinating. We were talking about last week's fourth down decision, and you look at the perceived analytical advantage to doing that was much slighter than what John Harbaugh, you know, went against doing this time around, where from a win probability standpoint, from an analytics standpoint, it was a kind of a clear cut to go for it there. And he kicked the field goal. It worked out. You know, the Ravens won the football game, but if it didn't work out that way, then we'd be having a much different conversation. But again, it just
speaks to... Well, the Bengals are having a different conversation about that Philly special. I mean, that was a terrible play call. It was a terrible outcome. They were on the 2-yard line and they moved 15 yards backwards. It was insane.
Right. Well, and this really, it lends itself to what we talked about last week where, you know, we talked about the fourth down decision, but you couldn't punch it in before that. It's for me, so many times it comes down to you let it get to that point, right? You need to be able to put it in the end zone before fourth down. So you don't even have to be in that position. I say it to you all the time about the best third down offense is the one that stays out of third downs, right? You're moving the chains on first and second down. So you don't put yourself in that position. So, you know, again, I mean, it made for great fun in terms of debating what happens. And you know, I think I said it to Dennis over the course of the week. I still don't know about Zach Taylor. I love the Bengals talent. I still don't know if he's a particularly good coach. I just don't. I think there's good elements to him, and certainly he's not a terrible coach, because I don't think you're overcoming a terrible coach with what they did last year, but certainly left something to be desired there.
Radio in Cincinnati today, and they're 2-3, and they had a lead with 2 minutes left to go, and they wet themselves on the goal line before that, and they couldn't stop Lamar Jackson. I mean, the story's still the same. They can't stop Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens are still in first place, and now they're going to play catch up for a little while, trying to figure it out, and they have another division loss. It's a different vibe in Cincinnati. And I would say this and I don't want to get too full of ourselves around here, given the schedule, given a million things to talk about. Ronnie Stanley, the injury to Marcus Williams, all sorts of things happened in the game. But by and large, the Ravens are their daddy right now, and the Steelers are gone. They're nowhere to be found. The Browns, you'll have your chance to deal with them 2 weeks from now. You get your own 1-on-1s with the Browns, but the Browns aren't winning 11 or 12 games. They're not. So for the Ravens at this point to establish this and have this feather in their cap, even if it's by a field goal that they had to go out and make it happen, this is demoralizing for Cincinnati. And I think that's the other side of this, is the whole goal here isn't to win 15 games. I mean, they already lost to Buffalo, so that will be a tiebreaker. That's going to be more difficult, more problematic for them. But I would say that where they are right now is, we're still the best team in our division, and we proved it on Monday night, and we'll have that for a while as long as they can win games and hold serve and beat teams they're supposed to beat the rest of the way. I don't think going to New Orleans or going to Tampa is going to be easy a couple of weeks from now. Certainly not going up to New York, but I think they're going to hold serve here, and I think I feel better about their ability to win the division, and that's their best play. Their best play is, we're the best team out of these four. Let's get, like baseball, let's get into the tournament and make this thing happen. They are that, and they held serve, and this becomes, on Monday night, the most important game they're going to play for a little while, and they won it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say that they're that. I mean, they're still what happened last year, but you're right. Mathematically speaking, you know, you have the game in hand. You know, Cincinnati's 0-2 in the division now. We certainly can look at the schedules, and you know, we talked about this when the schedule came out, looking at Cincinnati's post bye juggernaut. I mean, that's a bear of a schedule that they're going to go through. And that's not to say the Ravens won't have their challenges. And look, I don't think you come out of Sunday night's game thinking that the Ravens are just going to steamroll teams, but you feel much better, right? I mean, it really does come down to, for me, so much of it comes down to stopping the bleeding as far as what happened against Miami and Buffalo. I mean, it was so un-Raven-like to not lose games at home, but lose games like that at home. You just don't see that. I mean, again, we talked about it. There had been three times in the history of the franchise where they'd blown a 17 plus point lead and lost games. And they did it twice in 3 weeks. It was just very uncharacteristic. And that's why for me, while Sunday night was not must win in a mathematical sense, it was not must win in the sense that no game in week five is really truly a must win. I guess maybe unless you're 0-4. But I think for me, it was such an under the hood game to make sure that there isn't something bigger going on here. And I don't even mean like dissension or, you know, the Marcus Peters, John Harbaugh thing.
Well, they were good enough to get up by 3 touchdowns twice against good teams at home, right?
But that doesn't mean anything if you don't finish. You're the Atlanta Falcons if you keep doing that. So for me, that's where this game held some extra importance beyond being a division game and beyond the Bengals looking to be your tightest, toughest competition to win this division. So, and you look at things now, I mean, you go to the Giants, which, hey, they're 4-1. I still don't know. I'm not quite sure how they're 4-1, quite frankly.
Well, your brother-in-law is convinced the Eagles have won the Super Bowl already, right? Because that's where we are in week five, right? When you're 5-0 or 4-1, you get to say we're 5-0 or 4-1, right? Like, and I guess for the Giants to fly over to London and play the way they did, especially in the second half, I sat and watched it all morning. The kid looks like he can play a little bit for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not a believer. I'm just not. And that's, hey, I don't play. So, you know, you could say I'm overlooking a team, but they're 4-1. So yeah, you should have, they should have your full attention. There certainly should not be any shortage of motivation knowing Wink Martindale and some other former Ravens are on that team.
Oh, our old friend.
Think that's,
I remember him.
No question. Hey, who's got that defense playing well? You know, I'm not nearly as moved about Daniel Jones as how that defense has played and how Saquon Barkley looks. So, you know, shoulder issue aside, in the midst of that game, but, you know, seemed to be okay at least, but you know, you have that game, then you come home and you play the Browns and, you know, Cleveland has talent, but once again, it was another example on Sunday of they do something that, you know, that costs them, you know, they had a chance to win the game with a field goal. I mean, they had other opportunities in that game. So, you know, you look at them and, then after that, as you mentioned, at Tampa Bay, at New Orleans, not going to be easy there. Thursday night road game is always a major challenge, especially when you're facing Tom Brady. And then going on the road against the Saints, which, you know, I'm not sure what to make of them entirely. But, you know, Taysom Hill had a big day on Sunday. So, you know, but that's what you're looking at right now to get into your bye week. And when you're 3-2, you got a chance now to, you know, if you get on a little bit of a roll here, you can be in a position where you only have 2 or 3 losses come bye week, and that's a good position to be in. So certainly they have to take it 1 week at a time when they're looking at it from their perspective. But again, this game was just so big. Win a division game, beat the team that you know, I don't even care so much about the second game last year. Lamar didn't play in that. Lots of guys didn't play in that. But what happened to them early in the season in Baltimore last year against the Bengals? But for me, it was just, I think they needed that mental lift to finish off a game, you know, not be in a position where you're talking about another blown lead and just get a victory in your home stadium that, you know, was a great atmosphere for Sunday night football and ultimately wasn't perfect, but the Ravens were able to take care of business in the end.
Luke's going to be in Owings Mills all week. We're going to be watching baseball around here. I had to break out my Tony Gwynn jersey, at least here for this week. So I'll have that going on. Baseball, football, Luke is Baltimore Luke out on the social media places. And on Friday, it's my birthday. My 54th birthday will be at Fadley's. I've decided to have a delicious mustardy crab cake. I'm going to have some fried oysters for my birthday. I'm going to do it all up. I'll be down at Lexington Market in the morning. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have some Ravens scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation. I need a new hat. Like, somebody tell Eric I left my hat over Costas at one of our remotes, one of our crab cake tour stops from Window Nation. 866-90-NATION, the way to find them, as well as our friends at Goodwill. I hope to get Lisa back on to talk about Halloween and Halloween shopping and my potential David Bowie getup. By the way, had a great interview with Thomas Dolby, a local musician and, of course, teacher. He'll be playing some David Bowie songs along with Todd Rundgren down at Annapolis later in the month. So we'll have some great stuff on the air here this week. Got a crab cake tour later in the week. And most importantly, victorious, the first place Baltimore Ravens move on to MetLife Stadium to take on the G-Men on Sunday. I am Nestor. He is Luke. Stay with us. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Ravens victory and BaltimorePositive.com.